Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. So glad that you've decided to join us. I'm Jonathan, sitting here with Steven Cervantes. How are you doing, my friend?
Good, thank you.
Yes. So, you know, listeners, we appreciate you being part of this program. You know, for what has it been now? 15 years? Because in 2005
wow.
was when we started the program, and it's 2020. So 15 years we've been doing this program every single week, week in, week out. Over 750 programs out there. And we couldn't keep doing this without you, not only from the financial standpoint, the financial support, but the fact that you all are willing to interact with us. So you give us great show ideas. You communicate with us when you have questions or even when you have, you know, thoughts about subjects that we've brought up. But also, it really helps us if you're willing to share the podcast, if you're willing to rate it, review it. That does a lot for letting people know about the program that's out there. That's a really easy, free way for you to support what we're doing. We've got listeners in over 100 countries around the world, which is really amazing. I'm always amazed when I look at some of the analytics and where people are listening to the program. But we just want to say we're grateful for you, and we love the interactions that we can have with you. So go to puresexradio.com. Down at the bottom of the page, you can click on the iTunes link, and you can go there to rate us, or you can click on the donate link to make a donation. So, Steven, we're going to talk about porn.
Yes, we're going to talk about when do we go porning.
Yeah, are you coining a term?
I made a new word up. You know, I just put the ing on the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
When does a guy go porning?
Okay. So explain to us what porning is.
Looking for porn, hunting for porn.
Okay. So we're going to be talking about
a porn fix.
So it's not the same for every guy then, huh? I mean, everybody goes, maybe there's different times or different triggers. Is that what we're going to talk about?
Yes. But the whole idea of looking for a sexual fantasy escape, right? So, I don't know. Have you been porning? Did you go porning? Are you porning? Have you been porning? Just the whole idea of making it a verb, I think, because it's an activity, right?
Yeah.
That happens.
I'm not going to suggest we create a hashtag out of it. Just listeners, don't go there, please. We don't need that kind of publicity.
Anyway, just the language has to work and flow, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, we call men to accountability and, you know, have you done any porning, you know?
Yeah.
So I just got to thinking about it. I thought, when do guys go, if they're going to go looking for porn, well, when does that happen? And look, the reality is you've seen porn, I've seen porn, and we're all patterned people. And we work with men, and they're still in the muck of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I was just thinking, could we just talk about that? When does it happen? When does somebody mm-hmm. need to go? What's driving a guy? Sometimes it becomes habitual. I get it. You're not thinking.
Yeah.
You just do it. But most guys get so consumed with it. They're thinking about it. They're thinking about the last time. They're thinking about the next time. They're, you know, it's just so flooded with their mind. You know, that would be described as an addiction.
Yeah.
Right? You're consumed.
Yeah. But I think there's a far larger number of guys, like when you're describing, you know, porning, I almost think it could be expanded out to like, when do you start going down that path of a sexual escape?
Yeah, that's good.
So for those who are going to be trying to, you know, cross the T's and dot the I's and say, well, I don't look at porn. Well, it's like, yeah, but maybe you go towards a sexual escape of some kind.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what you're talking about,
right?
That's
exactly right. I wrote that word, escaping.
Yeah.
Porning is escaping. And it's got a sexual bent to it, right?
Right.
And, you know, when was your introduction to porn? You know, when did you first see it? And then it sort of overwhelms you and dazzles you. And you try not to go back because you know it's wrong. But then it's sort of so magnetic that you look again. And then it becomes a little pattern. It weaves into a young man's life as a solution, right? We could go running, right? We could go flying kites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could go watch television.
Well, it's like I heard somebody recently say, you know, porn is not a bad problem. It's a bad solution.
Interesting.
And
it's
I think that's what
a bad solution. That's good.
I think that's what you're talking about. Yeah. We somewhere along the way, we start to go down that path. We're looking to solve something in our lives. And I think that's what you're talking about. What are the things that when those things occur in our lives, we start finding ourselves heading towards
right.
Porn.
No, and I love the way you said solution, because what's implied?
There's a problem.
There's a problem, right? So I like that. If we assume that problems need solutions, right? And that when we're young men growing up, what do we have control over? The money, the car, the credit cards, whether we can go out, travel? No. We have control of our own body and our mind.
Right.
We have male parts that like to be aroused.
Yep.
And so that's what you own as a young man, right? So we're looking for comfort, right? Mm-hmm. And then what other words come to mind? Acceptance.
Yeah, belonging.
Belonging. This is good.
You're looking for, I think especially for men, we're looking for significance.
Yeah.
Right? We want to have a sense of we matter, you know.
All the big people that are influential, the smart people have a place, and the athletes have a place. And what about the people that are less significant? If I want to go find a significant place, and you create a sexually secret place where in your mind you're significant, right? You solved the problem. So we're talking about old patterns that set up in youth and that are continued into adulthood. Because I think I only met in 30 years, I only met one guy who said, I never looked at porn until I got to college.
Yeah, I've never met a guy, at least not that I can remember, that ever had, that it was ever that late.
Yeah. That's 18, 19? He starts looking at porn, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, wow, you got through the process very clean.
Yeah.
Because you think about the hundreds of hours of escaping in the fantasy the guys do or can do. And this guy said, no, I didn't do any hours. I had no hours of escaping and creating a fantasy place in my mind. I've got none until I'm 20.
So, yeah, I'm curious, what was the trigger that caused him to go look at 20?
I think he got
20?
Introduced to a bunch of guys that were doing it, and then he started doing it. But do you understand how much cleaner his program is, his internal system is? He's got stuff, but he doesn't have the hundreds or thousands of hours of fantasy escaping.
And I think that's an important point to make, too, because a lot of times the establishment of the pattern of going to porn as a solution was being established in a season of development and immaturity.
Yeah.
And what I mean is development in all respects, your body, your circumstances, your mind, all of that. But also when you're young, and I don't mean immaturity in a derogatory term, it's like you're just immature. Physically you haven't completely developed, your brain hasn't completely developed, but emotionally everything is in an immature state.
And you know, the thought that pops in my head, if you're an immature, late blooming boy, and everybody's ahead of you, and you want to catch up, well, go to porn.
Exactly, yeah.
Because you can be a man in porn. You can be the big man on campus in porn, right? So I like that we're setting this up as there's a problem, and then we find a solution. And you say it's a bad solution because it's just an escaping solution.
Right.
It's not a growth. It's not a God solution. It's not a good solution.
Well, I would say it fits in with that category of what you established in an immature state is an immature solution.
Ooh, look, you're sounding so smart today.
There's an immaturity
immature
there.
Immature state and immature solution.
And I think, when we get 40, 50, 60-year-old guys that have had a 20, 30, 40-year ongoing, relationship, so to speak, with pornography, there's something about when you see a 60-year-old man that's still looking to porn as a solution, there's no other way to describe it than that's a childish way to solve your problems. And again, I'm not trying to sound derogatory towards that
person.
But
you're saying there's a grown
it's saying
man
there's a stuckness.
That has a child solution.
You got stuck in 12-year-old thinking in terms of how you're always going to respond to stressors, to difficulties, to fear, to whatever.
Yes.
And that has been the thing that you've clung to. And I think that's what we're trying to then say is, when do you go to that? Because probably wherever it got started,
yes,
you're still responding to those same stressors and triggers.
You still have those same stressors and triggers.
Yeah.
The start is still going to be the same, right? Because if you're lonely,
yeah,
you're still going to be lonely, right, in life.
Mm-hmm.
But the start is the same, right, when you're 10, 12, 14, whatever. The start's the same. The pain is the same, right? Because you're in the same body. It probably feels bad, right? But the 60-year-old guy is still using his 12-year-old solution.
Yeah, and because when you think about it, I love that you put it in that kind of framework. The things that are going to cause us to recognize that we need to respond are probably not going to change. In like you said, loneliness or just fears or those types of things. The feelings around it are probably going to be very similar. So the one thing that we have a sense of hope that we could grow and mature in is how we then respond to them, right?
Right. But back up to what you said was really good, because the basic fundamental drive, the feelings, right?
Yeah.
The feelings that rise up inside me that I don't know what to do with, they will drive me to old solution.
And they will probably not, I haven't experienced this. I mean, you can maybe tell me if it's different from you. For you, I haven't necessarily experienced a massive difference in how some of those things feel in my life today.
But loneliness,
as to
fatigue,
how they felt,
it didn't change.
So, in other words, it's like, okay, if I have a wave of loneliness strike me today, it's not like it's so different from a wave of loneliness hitting me when I was 15. My circumstances surrounding that could be very different.
No, but the feeling, is in the same body that was there and here is the same. But you also would say, but I'm grown up and I have grown up resources with this body.
I know I respond to it differently today than I did before. And that's what I'm saying is that's the thing that if a guy gets stuck in, I've kind of thought the only way to respond to this is go to porn, go to my escape.
Right.
That's where I'm like, if you get stuck in that and you're 50, 60 years old, there's a sadness in that, right? Because you've thought that maybe I would quote unquote grow out of those feelings. And that's where I think some of the immaturity is we think that if we're feeling sadness at 15, well, man, you know what? If I finally get the car and I get the job and I get the girl and when I'm 40, all those feelings will change. And what you discover at 40 is those feelings didn't change. They probably only got magnified. And if you're still using your 15-year-old coping mechanism, now kind of the suffering you're in is exponentially more difficult than when you were 15 years old.
Well, but that's even sadder, right? That's sadness on sadness.
Right.
Because if I'm 15 and at 55, I'm still using my 15-year-old solution.
Yeah. It's a sad place to be. And that's why I'm saying, what we hope to try to help people here today with is if they can start unpacking, like, when are the times that I go to this? Recognizing that those things probably are not going to drastically change as it pertains to how they feel. Like we said, loneliness, right?
Yes.
Let's keep using that one.
Okay.
Loneliness at 15 and loneliness at 50 are still going to feel like loneliness. Maybe, again, the circumstances around it may be different, but the body I'm in,
the body,
feels the same.
The triggering of loneliness is going to be the same in the body.
What we want to see is let's grow our response to that. Let's grow the solution to something other than what we had when we were 15.
Yes, but I was saying a minute ago, I'm going to repeat it again. At 55, you have infinitely more resources than you had at 15.
Hopefully, yes.
Well, you have adulthood.
Yeah.
You have a driver's license. You have a credit card, right? People have cell phones, right? At 55, you have permission to go into a bar. At 15, you can, you know, go to a bar and go get a drink. But at you could drive across the country at 55. You could get on a plane. You could watch a movie. You could watch movies all day. You have an infinite, much larger set of resources that at 15, you could only do one thing. Go to your room, fantasize. That's not exactly true. But habitually, we thought we had very limited resources.
Yeah.
Right? We could go to the room, enjoy our body, fantasize, be left alone. Right? But when you grow up, if you're still doing the same solution, you haven't even begun to recognize that you have the Spirit of God in you, that you have a brotherhood, that you're connected, that you could ask your wife for a hug, that you could do some self-soothing, or you could do worship, or, you know, there's all of these options that exist. But what's so weird is that 15-year-old, in some 55-year-old, is still driving the whole program.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
Even though the reality is different now, it's all set up at 15, and the belief is limited to 15-year-old thinking, and I can only see like a 15-year-old. I can't see like a 55-year-old.
And I think that's why part of the resources, and I hope what we're going to be trying to do here, is part of the resources that we want to have as adults is to be able to say, what does it look like to kind of break down the parts of this process that I've had since I was a kid? So in other words, if I could better recognize sort of the pattern and the steps that I've taken that go from the moment that I feel a particular feeling to then the moment that I've always gone to porn or some other sexual acting out as my solution, maybe I could change the program.
Yes.
Not change the feelings, but change the response to them.
But why don't you and I talk about what you do and I do?
Sure.
Because I don't know who else you right now, but you're here and I am, and you just shifted the program in an interesting direction, which is, well, let's show the old pattern and let's offer some new pattern, right? So that when you were alone and you feel unloved and you were slow in development and life was hard and everybody was happy and you were trying to figure it out and you were odd and different, then you could go over there and escape and get away from yourself. So what's the first thing that comes to your mind using your adult resource brain when I say, man, I don't like me and I got to get away from me?
Yeah, so one of the first things that comes to mind, if I'm going to put it in kind of the framework of old thinking, new thinking, like old solution of porning and new solution of connection is just the difference between the old way would be like, well, I must solve this on my own. So the idea is if I feel, you know.
So this is young you. Young
this would be you. Young me.
Right, saying I got to. But I'm lonely, and I gotta get past loneliness.
So,
what are you saying?
Well, what I guess the main thing that my old thinking was is I can't let anyone else into this space of what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking right now. So there was no dialogue. In some ways, I had locked myself kind of in a prison of like, if certain things come into my mind or into my heart, they're inaccessible by anybody else. I can't let anybody else into that space.
So I must alone. That's why you said I must figure it out alone, because you're saying alone is your outer wall, right?
Yeah.
I live in an alone place and I got a problem.
The new thinking is
to go a little bit further. I'm alone, right? And nobody cares and nobody is safe and I can't let them in. Right?
With certain things, yes.
And then you would, right, and like our sexuality, we hid it, we were scared, it was ugly, it was dirty, whatever, right? And so then, but it cooks inside you, right? You feel lonely, and you shield yourself behind aloneness, and so then what would percolate and happen next, do you think?
Well, a lot of times then it was just, what's going to make me feel better?
I need relief.
Yeah, no, but I didn't, you know, there's a discomfort in carrying some of those emotions by yourself,
yes.
Whether it's fear
yes.
or, you know, anger
no, that's perfect.
Or, you know, yeah. feeling lonely. And so what the thing is I think even the way that our bodies are made by God is there is a tipping point, meaning you've talked about this before, like when you're trying to help husbands deal with the the emotions of their wives, right? When they maybe discover what's going on, or they, and you've talked about how no one can perpetually maintain a 10 emotionally. Like your body won't allow you to do that. Eventually your body will crash, right?
Yeah.
I think the same is true when you're carrying, like if I'm carrying that sense of loneliness by myself, my body can only handle, if I'm carrying that at a 10, like I'm feeling almost like in panic mode because I feel so alone, so disconnected. So at some point my body will crash. And a lot of times the thinking of that was, I need relief. I need pleasure. I need something that makes me feel better. And so, of course, porn is an easy solution.
So let me throw a few of my thoughts on the same continuum, right, of young kid. I'm odd. I'm slow. Nobody is like me. Nobody understands me. Everybody else is succeeding around me. And I'm struggling. And I hate being the struggler.
Mm.
Right? You understand? Now I'm building pressure on myself. And we don't want anybody to know, so we're going to keep it inside. And if you tell somebody, they say, that's stupid, don't think like that. Okay, fine, shut up. I won't tell you again. Right? So we are in a cocoon of alone. I love that. We're in this cocoon of alone, and we're generating terrible thoughts about ourselves because we're using our 15-year-old mind, and we're creating pressure, more and more pressure, until we have to go. We have to get away from ourselves. That's fabulous. I don't think I've ever heard two men ever say that.
Mm.
That here is the process. Anybody out there want to see what's going on? Wives want to see. Men want to see. There is a little process that you set up when you're 10, 12, 15. And it's cocooned and alone. And it's full of language of self-destruction, inadequacy, failing, you know, all that stuff. And I sit on it. I try to avoid it till I can't avoid it anymore. I try to pretend it's not true. I want to try to be like other people. But in my heart of hearts, I know I'm different. And then I have to go away.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I think we've been saying here is we need to recognize that the instigating emotion is not necessarily what we're trying to change. I think if that becomes the goal,
because you're going to feel it, right?
That's just
lonely,
it.
Rejected, inadequate. That's not going to change.
And that's where I think so many have gotten messed up thinking about what needs to change.
Okay.
They're thinking, if you want to change a pattern, go to what the starting point was. And so they go back to what the starting point was and they say, well, I felt lonely. So, man, how do I not feel lonely? Well, good luck with that.
Right, because you're going to feel lonely.
Feelings are feelings.
Right. When you're an adult and you're going to feel them all. Yeah.
You can't control the emotions that come to you. I think the more we can learn like some of the, maybe the causes of some of those emotions, the more we can learn what those emotions are revealing in us, the more I think we can form better solutions.
So let's unpack the new pattern, the 55-year-old pattern, right?
I'm not 55.
Okay, sorry.
So I'm getting closer, but I'm not there yet. That kind of splits the difference between you and me.
That's what I'm proposing. That's good. So let's talk about the ugly feelings, right? I'm not good enough. You say one.
Yeah, fear.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I'm fear that I'll be known or exposed, or right?
We talk about aloneness, feeling lonely.
Yeah.
Rejected.
Lonely. Yeah, rejected. You got it. So I'm not like you. If you knew me, you wouldn't like me. I'm not good enough. I'm different. Nobody understands me. All that ugly pain stuff that we hate. We all hate. Because you know what? You know why people drink? The same reason.
Yeah.
They got pain and they found alcohol. They didn't go porning. They found alcohol. You know why gamblers gamble? They didn't find porning. They found gambling.
Yeah.
Right? Every addiction is an escape from self.
Yeah.
So now you're still in this body that you currently are. Yeah. I stand corrected here. In this age, you will feel inadequate,
lonely,
you failed, rejected. Nobody wants you on their team. You're a loser. You're by yourself. You're stupid.
So when you set the framework before about like, okay, we have more resources now, right?
Yes.
One of the things, so when those feelings kind of attack me now, the way I frame it up now is, I do not have to handle this alone. In other words, the old self was saying, hey, there's a certain wall here that if there are things happening on this side of that wall, then nobody else could be allowed on this side of that wall, because it'd be either too shameful, or they'd reject me. They wouldn't want anything to do with me. All those shame lies.
Right.
Now the new resources are saying, you know what? I'm a broken human being among a whole world of broken human beings.
Yeah.
And I actually have a few human beings that actually love me as a broken human being.
So, slow down. I am broken. And there are other broken
and
people,
so
and they still love me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm broken, but I don't die.
Yeah.
Right? I'm broken. Because is that the worst thing in life, to be broken, to be rejected, to be lonely? No. Whatever the pain is, it's just pain.
Yeah.
And people around me have pain too, and they still love me. I'm still loved.
So that's one of the primary resources that I see. The other thing, too, is in my old way, there was even this thinking in my mind that what was behind that wall, even God didn't want to see. So there was almost like a double loneliness that I would feel in that place, because, well, there's a part of me that even God wouldn't want to know about. He wouldn't want to go there. And so I would even kind of try to quote unquote hide from God in that respect. So the resources now is, I realize not only are there people around me that I know that I can let into that place, there is a God who's been waiting for me in that place my whole life.
Mm.
He was there before I was. So it's like, I don't have to be scared of being exposed to God in all of that, all of those emotions.
This is so beautiful, because as soon as you say God, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Right? You have got invite God behind the wall, right?
Well, and the funny thing is then, when you go behind the wall yourself, you feel like, you realize he's been sitting there all along waiting for you.
Or
you
sitting
know?
On the wall going, hey, I'm right here. What do you want? You want to invite me in your yard? You'll play alone. What do you want to do? I'm right here. Tell me what you want.
Exactly.
Right? Because I'm not going to impose myself on you. You know? So it's funny, because as you're saying that, this thought occurred to me. When I'm really hard on me to say, God, I'm trashing me again, Lord. I'm just beating me again. All those old lies that want to crawl on me. And I don't want to beat me up this afternoon or tonight. Or tomorrow. I don't want to beat me with the lies. Do I have to beat me with the lies again, Lord? As soon as you say that, you change everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because either you're going to beat you, or you're going to tell God you're beating you.
Mm.
And when you say, God, I've been beating on myself again, and I know that's not what you want for me to do, and I don't know why I do it. It's kind of dumb anyway. All I'm doing is setting myself up to go get relief. But if I could come, rest in your presence, have a dialogue. Can I stop beating me? Is that okay with you, God? If you have any dialogue right there, you'll change the rest of your life.
Yeah. It's kind of like turning in that moment with all of the confusion and all the feelings and processing it in the presence of God, rather than trying to say, on my own, I got to kind of figure this out, and then I'll present it to God.
That's good.
It's like, no, we're not meant to present our lives to God. We're meant to be living our lives in the presence of God.
Isn't that beautiful? But a scared boy will say, okay, I can talk to God about this. God won't like this. God only likes good. He won't like messes. Look at this messy, stinky, bad thing. No, take it from, I'll do it myself. And then I'll go, when I'm good, I'll go to God. Man, that's great boy thinking.
And that's where we've got to shift that paradigm. We've got to shift that dialogue. And so I'm hopeful that listeners out there, I hope this has really stirred a lot in your own heart about kind of thinking about your own pattern. Like, what has been your pattern from childhood to now that has led to bad solutions over and over and over again? And what are you recognizing maybe coming out of this program that you need to be really focusing on in terms of shifting the paradigm, shifting the dialogue, shifting the orientation towards better solutions? We would love to come alongside of you. That's what our ministry is all about, is trying to help you engage those new and better solutions. So reach out to us. You can go to puresexradio.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at puresexradio. We would love to help you with that. So thanks for being a listener.
Yes,
and we look forward to seeing you back here again next week on the program.
God bless. Take care.